In a famous experiment, Professor Robert Rosenthal asked teachers to rate certain students as being very bright or intellectually capable. The teachers were told that their ratings would be compared with the students' actual IQ scores. Now, in reality, the children's IQs had been randomly selected and assigned before they took a test. After hearing about how well these students performed at school, those who were labeled as bright by their teacher scored higher on the tests than those who were labeled as not so bright. The results were attributed to the expectations created by the teachers. Joshua succeeded Moses as a leader of the Israelites. He was picked by Moses, who laid hands upon him to elevate him in the eyes of the people. Now Joshua was uncertain of his ability to lead the Israelites into the promised land. Then something miraculous happened. God spoke directly to Joshua. God told Joshua to get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land that God was about to give them. Three times, God told Joshua to be strong and courageous. And God promised him that he would be with Joshua wherever he went. So Joshua obeyed the God of Israel and was successful. For you see, Joshua had received encouragement from God. Now what about us today? What are our expectations? It seems that in a divided world, hatred can bubble up even in the hearts of those who seek to do good. And it is the risen Christ that can move us from a place of judgment to a place of connection, so that we can work together for the sake of God's kingdom. In our culture today, there's an increasing temptation to write people off or to make judgments about them, even if we don't really even know them. What might some of those judgments be? You know, we identify people as being different for many reasons. We pass judgment on those who look different because of the way that they dress or the way that they speak or the color of their skin. And because they are different in appearance or different in the way that they think, we classify them as the other. You know, those people over there. Has there been a time when judgment or fear has kept you from connecting, from interacting with or seeing the potential in someone? And what were some of the reasons for that? I've named a few of them. Many times, me included, think that we are better than others. Or that we see things correctly and that the other person is wrong. The story of Saul in Acts 9 provides us an interesting contrast. At the beginning of the text, both Saul and Ananias believe themselves to be faithful and that they are doing what they are supposed to be doing. Both of them refer to the voice that speaks to them as Lord, which describes reverence towards something that's outside of themselves. How much time do faithful people waste judging the quality of other people's faithfulness? Saul persecuted the Christians, the faith of Christians, because they did not believe like him. Ananias had preconceived ideas about Saul and really wanted nothing to do with him. Lord, Ananias answered, I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm that he's done to your holy people in Jerusalem. And he's come here with authority from the chief priests to arrest all who call on your name. But it's God who gets to decide who the instruments are going to be in God's band and the part that they're supposed to play. Now, from our perspective, it's easy to see what Saul is doing, he's persecuting Christians, as hateful. And we may try to convince ourselves that we're not hateful like Saul is hateful. Maybe it's a little easier for us to relate to Ananias. He wanted nothing to do with Saul, but for the right reasons. After all, Saul was persecuting his people. The degree and the expression of the negative feelings that Ananias has towards Saul are certainly different and less harmful than Saul's toward the Christians. But notice that in both cases, God seeks to overcome the judgment and the animosity by connecting them for the sake of the gospel, God's greater project of love. God connects Ananias with Saul through a vision and words, and Saul with Ananias with a vision. What's important here is not which belief was important, but that the two of them believed in the one God. Just as in the last 2 weeks of this series, this story is an encounter with the risen Jesus. For Saul, with as light and a voice, and for Ananias in a vision and words that meets them in their sin of hatred or judgment. It's like they were closed off from one another. And for each of them, it's an encounter with Jesus. That overcomes their sin and raises both of them up to be strong and connected, to be faithful followers of Jesus, working together for the sake of the gospel. Jesus actually calls each one of them. To Saul, he says, "But get up and enter the city." And to Ananias, he says, "Get up and go to Saul." So we have our ways of reconciling differences, and God has ways of reconciling differences. We may decide to judge others. We may decide to go to war with others. Or we may just speak badly of others. Does any of those ways sound like the ways of Jesus? So maybe we need to adjust our thinking a little bit. Now, this is a good point to take a step back and say, so what happened after this vision, after this connection? Saul, not King Saul, with David in the Psalms, but Saul, who also had the name Paul and wrote more than half the books in the New Testament and traveled much of the known world at that time, spreading the gospel. All because Jesus said, in effect, I have work for you. And it won't be easy, and you will suffer, but it will be for good. So I guess every time I read these passages, I think to myself, well, if Jesus can do that with Saul, what could he do with us? Because I don't think any of us have persecuted anyone, at least physically. We haven't arrested people and taken them somewhere for trial and possible execution, have we? Now, maybe we've done a little judging on the side. You know, well, he or she really shouldn't be doing this. They should be doing that. You know, if they were really people of faith, they would do this. Well, people of faith only do this. Isn't this worship in the Lord? Isn't this trying to live the best way that you know how? And because of circumstances, they might be a little different from what I would do or what you might do. So I guess the question today is, so how do we encourage people that we know, to respond to God's call to be instruments of God, to worship the Lord, to love neighbors, to even love our enemies in our daily lives? I think this message is particularly appropriate in these days. There's a lot of information and misinformation, judgments being passed in social media, whether it's Facebook or TikTok or Instagram or some of these Twitter, some of these things that I know the names, but I'm really not using that particular method of communication. And it's really easy to type something and post it and not have to face the person to whom you're writing. And so we do. Not for our betterment, certainly not better for the betterment of the person. And not only do we do it, you know, we're just average people, right? Not anything really, really bad. Maybe not anything really, really, really great. So we're just regular people in God's kingdom. And we do it. And unfortunately, some of our leaders do it. And then others mimic them. You know, this passage says, time out. Let's set the expectations differently. How many of you remember the movie Hoosiers with Gene Hackman? He was a basketball coach in Indiana. And there was a section of the movie where he really exhibited great coaching. It was the end of a big game, and a sub was going to go to the foul line to shoot free throws that could win a championship game for them. And there was a timeout called, and Gene Hackman got his team together, and he looked at the sub and said, so that everybody could hear, after he makes these two free throws, this is the defense that we're going to play, because there were a few seconds left in the game. After he makes these free throws, he was setting an expectation in that substitute player's mind. To me, that's a great example of how to positively set expectations. Not exactly biblical, I get it. We in the church, we're called to give people a place in the band, to help them become instruments to play the tune, the message of God's love for each and every one of us. If Jesus can take someone like Paul, Saul, later known more so as Paul, and use him as he did, he can take you, and he can take me, and he can use us to spread the word. So as you leave this morning, who might God be calling you to connect with? To come to church? To answer your questions? You might answer their questions. Why do you live like you live? For every day, we are the example of how to live in connection with Jesus. Would you pray with me? Loving Lord Jesus, help us to set aside our hatred, our judgments, and our assumptions about others, so that we might be the connectors of God's love for all of his people. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Our closing hymn is I Love to Tell the Story. Ah, good. It's number 156 in the hymnal, and the right slides are up. For those of you who are visiting, I do provide some entertainment. Please stand if you are able.